If the name of Jesus Christ means more to you than anything, can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Isn't it amazing? The world uses that name as a curse word, and we look at it as our salvation. Doesn't that even itself tell you something? Take your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11, and as you're turning, all I can think of is the word thank you. And I know that does not do justice to the heart that I have of gratitude towards Temple Baptist. I have known Temple Baptist for a long, long time. Probably, except for a few people in this room, I came to this church back in the late 80s. And I've just loved this church and have loved the people here. But I will tell you, as much as I love Temple Baptist, I really mean this honestly, in my life, if you ask me who are some of the greatest friends that you have, this guy down here would be one of them. And I really mean that. And you know what's interesting about Pastor Pittman? It is not like we talk often. It is not. It is not like we're texting each other or whatever like that. But I can be away from Brother Pittman for a long period of time and be back in his presence, and we just take it up from that point on. And I'm very different than your pastor. But our values, our beliefs, and our philosophy of ministry is so connected and so the same. And I just want to tell you, I thank God for Temple Baptist. I thank God for Pastor. And I am not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. And I don't know. I'm hoping today we'll hear the trumpet and we'll be out of this place. But I am going to tell you, if the Lord were to tarry, I have a hunch that the greatest days of Temple Baptist are up ahead. And you know, it's not just because you'll be in a different building. I think God has got plans right now for this church in a mighty way. And these are, you know, this transition time is always difficult. And I actually asked Pastor, I believe that my ministry is equipping and encouraging. And I actually asked, could I come during the middle of your building program? Because sometimes in the middle of a building program, a structure becomes more important than our spiritual lives. And I said, I just want to come during this time and just be an encouragement and equip. And I'll tell you what, I have enjoyed every setting. It started with graduation, and I was very touched by graduation and by your seniors and by Temple Baptist School. But then also, just everything we've done. I have thoroughly enjoyed the two Bible studies with the young adults. It was great being able to teach the Sunday school teachers. I also enjoyed the time with the staff and the faculty. That was really great. Everything we've done, and I better take all my time here just talking about all the things, but I have thoroughly enjoyed, and I can say honestly, I love Temple Baptist, and so does my wife. Marilee and I have always loved this church very, very much, and it really is dear, and to have Pastor Pittman. And I said it last week, just say it really quick, I do believe there is an energy and an enthusiasm in your pastor, and I believe, Janet, you have brought a lot of that, and I really do mean that, and I thank God for that. Okay, you're in Joshua chapter 11. You get to now look at the very first counterdiction in the Bible. You say, Brother Sheldon, there's no contradictions in the Bible. Yep, well, you're about to see the first contradiction in the Bible, okay? So here you go, and I need your help on this. Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. All right, I need you to help me on two words, and they're coming up right away. And you know me, Temple Baptist, if you don't say it loud enough, you're going to do it again, okay? So here we go. Joshua chapter 11, verse 23, last verse of chapter 11. So Joshua took the, everyone together, what's the next two words?
Amen.
That was good. That was good. I thought for sure I'd be saying that again. Okay, Joshua took the what? What did he take?
Amen.
According to all that the Lord said unto Moses. Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Everyone together, how much of the land did they take?
No.
The whole land. What's your contradiction, Brother Shetler? Look at chapter 13 and verse 1. Chapter 13 and verse 1, and we're going to look at the very first contradiction in the Bible. Are you ready? Help me out again. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. Why'd you have to say that twice there? Anyway, thou art old and stricken in years. Are you ready? And there... Whoa. And there... What's the next word, everyone? Whoa, 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 whoa. How much of the land did they take? Whoa, whoa, wait, wait, wait. And there what? Brother Scheller, that looks like a contradiction. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Wait a second, Brother Scheller. Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. And they took the whole land. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. And there remaineth much land to be possessed. Well, Brother Scheller, I think that's the first contradiction in the Bible. So did they get the whole land, or is there much land to be possessed? And the answer is yes. Yes, what? Yes. And the answer is without a doubt, maybe the greatest spiritual truth for the life of a Christian that's found anywhere in Scripture. They conquered the whole land. Well, that's what Jesus Christ did for us in the cross. It was finished, man. However, have we possessed it? Title of my message, From Position to Possession. From Position to Possession. If you're saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you're on your way to heaven, you have the position of Jesus Christ. That's who your identity is. However, are you possessing the position that you have in Christ? Brother Scheller, I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about today. Well, let me tell you, the truth that I'm talking about today may be the most important singular truth of the entire Bible for the life of a Christian. From position to possession. I want everyone to help me on the title of my message. Everyone together? From
position to possession.
Father, I pray this cannot be done by a human speaker. This cannot be done by illustration. This can only be understood by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Father, there may be people in this room today that aren't even in the right position. They need to come to know Christ. They need to have the position of being a child of God. So, Father, if there's someone here today that does not know you, I pray they'll get the right position with you today. They'll make peace with you today. They'll come to know Christ as their Savior today. For those of us that are in the right position, may we understand how to possess what we already have. Father, your Son has conquered the whole land. Your Son has given us the victory. We are therefore new creatures. We do not have the old nature. We do not have to submit to the flesh. Father, we have our position. Now, Father, may the Spirit of God point to us what we need to possess in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we will listen intently. May the Spirit of God reveal to us what we need, and may we leave. And I just think victory in Jesus was the perfect hymn. Father, may we live in the victory that we already have in Christ. We pray these things in the one who's given us victory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And God's people said, it was Sunday after church, and I was in the foyer with Mary Lee shaking hands. One of our dear members, Jim Porter, came up to me afterwards. Jim Porter owns and runs one of the largest real estate companies in the city of Pensacola. Jim Porter came up to me at the end of the service and said, "Pastor, that was a great message." He said, "Pastor, did you know that the Blue Angels air show is coming up this weekend?" I looked at Jim Porter, and I love Jim Porter, but I said, "I heard that, but I'll tell you there's one thing that the Shuttlers are not going to do. We are not going to the air show of the Blue Angels." "You don't like the Blue Angels, Brother Shuttler?" "I actually love the Blue Angels. But I have gone to the air show before, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life. First of all, the Blue Angel air show in Pensacola, because that's their home, is free. They don't charge. That's good. The bad thing is they don't charge. So that means everyone and their cousins and brothers go as well. So the last time we tried to go to a Pensacola Naval, the Blue Angels air show, there was over 80,000 people that went as well. It was hot. It was muggy. We had to park so far away. It was just a terrible experience. Once in a while, we saw these little planes up in the sky. We couldn't get close to anything. We didn't have any drinks. We didn't have any food. It was the worst experience. So I looked at Jim Porter, and I said, "Jim, if there's one thing I'm not doing this coming weekend, it is going to the Blue Angels air show." At which point, Jim Porter reached into his pocket. He pulled out a little stack of cards. And on the front card that I saw, it had his name on it. Captain Jim Porter. He's retired captain, naval officer. Captain Jim Porter. Underneath that name, there were three letters that I like very much. They were big letters. And those letters were V-I-P. And he said, "Pastor, these are 6 VIP passes to the Blue Angels air show." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Let me tell you, me and my family will not be here this coming Saturday. So we would like to give you these 6 VIP passes." I said, "Okay, so what does that mean?" "Number one, it means you get VIP parking. And you get to park all the way at the grandstand." I said, "Really? I mean, you don't have to park 4 miles away on Blue Angel Parkway?" "No, you get to park at the grandstand." I said, "Okay, what else about VIP?" "These will get you in the grandstand, right where Fat Albert will land and come up, the Blue Angels will touch, they will take off right in front of you." I said, "You're kidding me. I'll actually see the planes?" "You'll see the pilots in the planes." I said, "Really? This is interesting." "And Pastor, next to the grandstand, there will be a large tent. Underneath this tent will be a complete luncheon buffet of all the food you could imagine, absolutely free." And I said, "Come on, I got VIP parking, I got VIP seating, and I got VIP to the tent. I'll take those VIP cards." My wife still, because the experience was so bad, my wife said, "I ain't going, Jim." I said, "I'm going. I'll take some college kids with me." So sure enough, me, one of my sons, and 4 college students went to the Blue Angels Parkway. And when we were going past all these cars, we got to the gate of the Naval Air Station, and I brought out my VIP card that said, "Retired Captain Jim Porter." "Brother Shuttler, you're not Jim Porter." "I know, and I asked him that in the foyer. I said, hey, now listen now, can I do it?" He said, there's no problem. You will go in under my name. I can give these passes to whoever I want, and you will be retired Captain Jim Porter." I said, "Okay." So sure enough, we came to the gate. And when we got to the gate, I showed him the captain, retired Captain Jim Porter VIP. It didn't matter that I was, I'm pastor of the campus church. That could have mattered nothing. But I was Jim Porter. I pulled all the way in. We parked. When we got there, were naval officers there, and there were guards, and there were all these people, and I just showed them Jim Porter, VIP. That got me in the grandstand. We were watching, and after about a half hour, 45 minutes, hey, you know what? I'm a little hungry, guys. I'm just going to go get a little something to eat. And I took my little VIP, and I went over to the tent, and I showed him, hey, here's my driver's license, Jim. No, I showed him, hey, Jim Porter, VIP, come on in, get all you want. I just want you to know, I had the day of my life being retired Captain Jim Porter. That day, my identity was not in who I was. That day, I received all of those blessings because of who Jim Porter was. I went under his identity. Now, let me tell you something, friend. The day you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got an identity. It's not what you've done. I've worked hard for this to get to heaven. I've been baptized. I joined a church. I've tried my best. No, my friend, that will not get you into heaven. The only way that you can get to heaven is with someone else's identity. And that identity is Jesus Christ. And once we have the identity of Christ, that's how we live the victorious Christian life. It is not in Shetler trying his hardest. It is in what Jesus Christ has already accomplished. And I want you to know, that day, because of Jim Porter, I got that parking. I got that seating. I got that food. And can I tell you this? Because of Jesus Christ, I have been forgiven. I have victory. I can live the victorious Christian life. So, did we have a contradiction in Joshua chapter 11 and Joshua chapter 13? No. God gave them the entire land. The land was theirs. But now, let's see how well you're listening. Now they had to take steps to what? You know the word? Possess it. Now they had to, I had to use my card. I had to use it to get in parking. I had to get it to grandstand. I had to use my card to get into the food tent. And my friend, you have already, I'm trying to live the victorious Christian life. No, you're not. You already have the victorious Christian life. You need now to possess it. So you say, Brother Shetler, I've heard messages like this before, and sometimes I walk away and I don't understand them. I know that. Me too. So I got to have things practical, so let's get going. Romans chapter 6. Everyone together? Romans chapter number 6. Let me tell you, first of all, this has nothing to do with your feelings or your figuring. This position that you have in Christ has nothing to do with your feelings or your figuring. It has everything to do with your faith. Now, what I just said is so profound. And if you came in here a little foggy today, you just missed one of the most important statements you'll ever hear in your Christian life. You know, Brother Shetler, sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved, and that is your problem. Sometimes I don't feel like I have victory. Yeah. And if you're going to go by your feelings, you're going to be so messed up in your Christian life. Your Christian life is not the way you feel. Well, you know what? I just can't figure this whole thing. Your Christian life is not on how you can figure this all out. Your Christian life is on your faith and what you believe. Do you believe that you have victory in Christ? It is, well, yeah, but there's times I don't say it. Yeah, but I can't, don't say it. Because your victory, your identity in Christ is not how you feel or how you have figured it out. Your identity in Christ is your faith. Look at with me, if you would, Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 3. Know ye, this is not about feelings or figuring. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, identified into Jesus Christ, were baptized, identified into his death. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Look down to verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And here it comes now, verse number 11. Because you know this by faith, because you know this by faith, look at verse 11. Likewise, everyone together, what is the next word? Likewise, reckon. Brother Scheller, isn't reckoning kind of a figuring word? Not at all. Reckoning is an accounting term. And the idea of reckoning has to do with a conclusion that you've made about your faith. That you have concluded, you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. You have concluded, no. It doesn't matter the way I feel. It doesn't matter what I figured out about the Christian life. The fact of the matter is, are you ready? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. No. This is not about your feelings. This is not about how you figured this all out. This is about your faith. Reckon yourselves. I don't think this. I don't wish this. I don't feel this. I know this. I know this by faith that my flesh is dead and I am alive with God. And you say, oh, Brother Scheller, that statement. I am crucified with Christ. I'm not sure I'm catching this, man. Okay, so who said that statement? Paul did. Well, Paul was not one of the thieves on the cross. No, he was not. So he then was not crucified with Christ. Yes, he was. We are not talking physically here. We are talking spiritually. Spiritually, Paul says, I identify with Christ. When Christ died on the cross, I, Paul, died on the cross. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you have never lived the victorious Christian life. And the reason why, and I'm not saying you're not saved, you by faith trusted Jesus, but you have not by faith lived the Christian life. I'm trying to get what you're saying. All right, take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. When you see this, you're going to go, whoa. That is really cool. Yeah, it is really cool. Are you ready? Colossians chapter 2 and look at verse number 6. Here we go. Colossians 2 verse 6. As ye have therefore, everyone together, what's the next word? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk ye in him. The way you received Jesus is the way you gotta walk in Jesus. Well, let me tell you, the majority of you, and I used to be a part of this, the majority of you got saved by faith alone. So by the way, it is the only way to get saved. The only way a person can get Christ and get salvation is by faith alone. It is not what you do. It is not how you live. It is what Jesus Christ did for you. And you guys are going like, duh, we know all this, Brother Scheller. Keep moving. You don't have much time. No. This is huge. The same way you received Christ is the same way you walk in your Christian life. You got to walk in faith. It is not by your effort. It is not by trying. It is by trusting in what Christ has already given you. Now, I know what you're thinking. You say, Brother Shetler, I have heard this before, and it's just too theoretical. How do you make this practical? Well, this is where it gets interesting. Okay, this has nothing to do with your feelings or your figuring, but this has everything to do with your faith. So, practice in your everyday steps and walks who you are in Christ. I know, I've heard this, but I don't know what that means. Okay, so let me tell you something. On August 15th, 1980, I, Jim Shetler, believed in marriage. On August 15th, 1980, Jim Shetler wanted to be married. On August 15th, 1980, I had such a passion and such a belief in marriage. But on August 15th, 1980, I was not married. But on August 16th, 1980, I got married. What changed from August 15th to August 16th? I received a wife. I took Mary Lee to be my wife. I wanted her to be my wife on August 15th. I believed she was going to be my wife on August 15th, but I wasn't married. On August 16th, 1980, I took Mary Lee, and I received Mary Lee, and I got everyone together, and I got married. I got a wife. I got married. On August 17th, 1980, I didn't feel married. On August 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, I didn't act real married. Was I married? Everyone together, was I married? Yeah. But I didn't, sometimes I went like, am I really married? I mean, like, I'm no different now. Am I really? And you know what? I had to start walking like a husband. I had to start believing what I was. Are you with me now? Are you catching this? In other words, I was married on August 16th. But there were times after I got married, especially when I was away from Mary Lee or something, I'd go like, I'm married, aren't I? I don't feel married. And I had to start becoming what I already was. January 19th, 1983. A little 8-pound, 11-ounce boy comes into the Shetler family. Benjamin Daniel Shetler. I was there the day that baby was born. I cut the umbilical cord. I was there for the labor, 24 hours labor. I didn't go through the labor. I was there. Okay. I'm the first one who sees Ben. I'm the first one who holds Ben. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, I'm a daddy. I did not feel like a daddy. I don't know this. By the way, I think the day that my son was born was more sobering than the day I got married. When you hold that little baby, you go like, okay, this is a big responsibility. This is a big deal. And then I became a dad that day. January 19th, 1983, I became a father. But as time went on, there were times I go like, you know, I don't really feel like a dad. But I started to act like I already was. Now, this is the key that you guys aren't catching. Start being what you are in Jesus Christ. Well, this is like a pep rally or something. I don't feel it sometimes. That's your problem. It is not on your feelings and it's not on your figuring. It is on your faith. Are you in Christ? Then you have victory over doubt. Then you have victory over your speech. Then you have victory over your lust. Then you have victory over your anger. then you have already got the victory. Start living what you already have in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was at a pastor's conference, and I heard this story about this pastor that had a son. And the son was, he wanted to help his dad with yard work. And he came out and he tried to do the weed eating. He tried to do the lawn mowing. And the father said, son, you're too young. You can't do this yet. You can't mow the lawn. You can't weed eat. You can't do the edging. And the little boy was so discouraged. And he tried to do everything dad was trying to do. And he said, son, you'll get hurt. You can't do it. And all day long, the little boy was just really discouraged. So the father's putting the tools away at the end of the day. And the little boy was just dejected. And the father said, you know what? He thought of something. There is something you can do. Go blow off the driveway. There was a blower in the driveway. And he thought that he could do that, an electric blower. He could do that. He said, hey, would you still like to do something? The little boy said, yeah. Go blow off the driveway. So the little boy ran out to go blow off the driveway. And the father came out after he had finished cleaning the tools. And he came out and he didn't hear nothing. My son wanted to do something all morning long. I finally gave him something to do and he didn't do it. The father came around the front of the house. And when he came around the front of the house, the little boy was on all fours. And the father said, son, what are you doing? Daddy, I'm trying to blow off the driveway. You told me to blow off the driveway. I'm trying to blow off the driveway. And the father said, oh, son, come here. He picked up the blower, turned it on. Use this. It's a lot easier. You know what your problem is? You got saved by faith. But now you're trying to live the Christian life. The same way you got saved is the same way you live. God's given you the Holy Spirit. Take your step of faith and say, no, I don't have to look at pornography. No, I don't have to talk this way anymore. No, I don't have to show that anger because that's not me. That's my flesh that dwells in me, but that is no longer me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's go. You are a very important person. Your identity is not you. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. Temple Baptist, start living the life that you have in faith in Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask this. How many in this room this morning can say confidently with a raised hand, Brother Shetler, by faith alone, not by what I've done, not by what I've earned. I've earned wages of sin is what I've earned. But I know, Jim, I don't remember exactly what I prayed. I don't remember exactly the date, but I know that I have received Jesus. I know by faith that I am a child of God and I'm on my way to heaven. If I died today, Jim, I know I would go to heaven, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus Christ did. And I am saved. I'm a child of God. If that's true, would you raise your hand all over this auditorium? Would you keep it up for just a minute? What a blessing. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Do you understand? If the way that you got saved, every one of you that just raised your hand, the way that you got saved is the way you've got to live your life now. The same way you trusted Christ is the way you walk in Christ now. You do have the whole land. Now start practicing and possessing your position in Jesus Christ. I want to ask this. I will not embarrass anybody, but I definitely will pray for you. Is there anyone here that says, Jim, I do not have that possession in Christ? If I died right now, I don't know that I would go to heaven. I have been trying to live a good life, but I realized this morning, it's not what I do. It's who Jesus is. I have never asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. And this morning, I want that position. I want to know Christ as my Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven. Jim, would you pray for me? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. But would you acknowledge I need Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want to be saved? If that's true, would you raise your hand right now? Is there anyone like that? Would you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior right now? Is there anyone like that? I'll wait just a minute. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Is there somebody else? Is there anyone else? Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Christian, I want to ask you this. How many of you that raised your hand a moment ago would say, wow, Jim, I think for the very first time I understand my Christianity. I knew I was in Christ. I always knew that. But now I need to step in faith. I need to show God and show myself, God, I do believe I have victory over this. That's flesh that still dwells in me. But that's not who I am. That's not what I am. And today, I take a step forward and say, God, I am trusting you for the victory that I already have. And God, when the Holy Spirit shows me the step I need to take, I'm going to take the step because I already am married. I am a father. In other words, Father, I am saved. I'm in Jesus. God spoke to my heart this morning, Brother Shetler. I don't think I've ever experienced the victory that I should have in my life. And this morning, God has spoken to me, and I'm ready to take my step of faith. Not on feeling, not on figuring, but on faith and who I am in Christ, and I'm ready to go forward in victory. If that's true, would you raise your hand all over the auditorium? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is a life-changing principle. Let me encourage you, if God spoke to your heart, to come on down. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. And Lord, for the one that raised their hand for salvation, I pray today, God, I pray for them that they will get that taken care of today. And for any Christians today that, God, are ready to go forward and possess what they already have, I pray today will be a day of victory for them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, Pastor?